This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Some would say that a DJ is a form of a pacifier, and if all DJs follow a rule book, they wouldn't discover music or let it flow in a natural way. This New York-born DJ can guarantee that just with a drop of a beat, he can lift up your spirits. Hold on, because here we go, into a world that seems so far, yet so near in our minds. When you hear him playing, you're going to need one more night out. Whether your name be Morella or Candida, get ready because this DJ is set to rock Melbourne very soon. Please welcome to the Hump Day crew, Sean Tyus.
That was really cool. Really cool. Can't really beat that.
Now, Sean, some would say you're a well-travelled man. You've played across 30 countries and spread across 5 continents. What's your favourite place to play?
It's a real toss-up between the gigs that I've done in Australia. That's definitely right on the top of my list, but it's fighting it out between that and Argentina.
What makes Argentina an interesting place to DJ?
They are completely mad there. Basically, they do this thing in Argentina that's only known in Argentina, really, from what I'm told. During the breakdowns of tracks, especially the really big ones, a whole dance floor, it could be anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people, everybody on the dance floor gets down, crouches down on the dance floor, and the lights in the club are coordinated with this, and the lights actually go out. And you don't see anything. You can't even see really faces at times. And then as it builds up, they slowly come up, and then they just rage when the song finally breaks out.
So everyone in the whole club or place you're playing at just gets on their knees?
Not on their knees, but just they just get in a crouching position, and then they just get ready. And then as it slowly starts to build, they slowly come up. And to witness this actually happen, it's something else.
Kind of a way of telling you a message across to the DJ, okay, I want you to tease me with the music and pump it up a bit?
Oh, they're just ready to go. They're just they're saying they appreciate the track, they're really feeling it, and they're on the ball for this particular build-up right now.
What's the strangest thing you've witnessed at a gig?
The Melbourne Shuffle.
Tell us a bit about the Melbourne Shuffle.
I love it. I was always a big raver dancer during my raving days in the 90s, and I always really prided myself that I was a good dancer. And then I just quickly got put in my place really quick when I was over in Australia. I tried to learn it, and I failed miserably. It's just really, really hard. I'm not that coordinated.
Describe the Melbourne Shuffle to me. I don't think I've ever seen that move.
No, impossible. It's very similar to the Running Man, and that's how they describe it. But, like, you know, it's really hard to describe. I mean, basically, it's set like the way it appears is if the person becomes more like a puppet off a puppeteer. But the moves are completely unique from person to person, what I've noticed. Everybody has their own style of doing it, but there is a continuity that you notice that there is obviously a base set of moves, but people customize it up so much, and that's what's so impressive to me about it.
So you hold the Melbourne Shuffle as the epitome of all dance trance moves.
I absolutely do. There's no better place where I've seen people dancing to trance music.
Is that why you named one of your songs Melbourne?
Melbourne, because at the end of that tour last year, when we did the 4 cities in a row, Melbourne was definitely the epitome of that tour, and after that gig, I just said to Simon Patterson, I said, that's the name of my next track. It's just got to be more or less an homage to this tour and to this city. I just had such a great time. I mean, every city was great, but to end it there, and then we just partied after, it was the perfect trip.
What made you want to become a DJ?
It wasn't something I actually set out to do. Originally, I just thought I was going to be a producer, so I moved to Germany just to do studio production. And then switched over, got another job offer from Switzerland to do more studio production. And during this time, there was better deals coming from Switzerland. It also left me with a lot more free time. So during the free time, I started producing my own stuff. And within a year, I started getting inquiries about, do you want to come here and DJ and you can play your music? Wow, I never even really thought about that. I had learned how to DJ when I was living in New York on vinyl and stuff. So I knew the basics, but this is a little bit daunting, but you just got to learn as you go. I kind of fell into it.
I was chatting to a friend of yours, Hannah Van Dorn, actually, and I've realized that all the best DJs in the world are either from or live in Europe. Why do you think that is?
It's definitely the pivotal point for most dance music. That's slowly expanding now, and you're seeing more names pop up from other places. But, I mean, with Holland so near and the massive UK club scene, UK is the only country in the world that I can actually do probably 3 or 4 gigs in 2 nights. And and not have to take a flight anywhere. I mean, you can't do that in any other country. I don't know any other country that has that many club parties or club events going on the same night.
Sander was actually saying that Holland and the UK are great launching pads for house music. Is it the same in Germany and Switzerland?
Okay, so in UK and Holland, I mean, you have more of like the harder edge style music. So trance works really well in these places, and obviously tech trance and electro. In Switzerland and Germany right now, the flavor of the month is minimal. And in these countries, it's all about the trend. So minimal seems to be that major trend right now in those countries, and in Austria as well.
I've also noticed that these DJs like Armin van Buuren, Armin van Helden, Fede Legrand, and even Sander van Doorn, they've had two-worded surnames. Are you going to stick with Tyus, or are you going to add another word in there just to fit in?
No, I'm going to stick with it. But yeah, the van definitely does seem to help a lot of people. Paul van Dyk, Armin van Buuren, Sander van Doorn, seems to work very well. I'll stick with this. It's unique enough, and it's easier to remember than putting an extra van in there, so we'll stick with it.
Exactly. And as we were saying at the start of this conversation, it's actually quite misleading, because it's not exactly anything exotic, it's just how it's read.
Exactly. And I wish I had a better answer for you as to where that name was from.
I think you're going to have to do some heritage research for us, Sean.
We have. We've done those things in shopping marts at the little huts that where you pay for your family crest, and they give you a little bit of a brief thing. But anybody could write that, you know. There's
exactly.
No real proof as to that.
Sander was saying that for energy, he turns to his dark roast coffee or Red Bull. What do you turn to?
Beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
That's very Melburnian of you.
Maybe that's where my name is from.
Exactly. Maybe you are a Melburnian. Tyus could be Melburnian. I'll find you on a crest somewhere here.
That would be actually ideal. That would be really funny.
We'll send it to you. What is it about beer that sort of picks you up? I thought it would have the opposite effect.
I'm not really sure. Probably the stay in Germany, because when I was in Germany, I just went nuts every week just buying a new case of different beer that I had never seen before in America. I just got really into it and just kind of stuck with it. Beer or red wine, but you don't want to be running around a club drinking red wine. If you spill it on yourself, your clothing's done for the night.
So I see Oktoberfest is probably your busiest month.
You know what? I've never been to the Oktoberfest. I wasn't living anywhere near Munich when I was in Germany. I was in Cologne. So, yeah, I had to just drink minus the fest.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.